Let us begin this service by singing number 331. My soul for thy salvation faints, but still I hope in thee. I long to see thy promised help when thou shalt comfort me. We will read to you from God's holy word, the first book of Moses, Genesis 17, the first part. Genesis 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. But thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in the generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shalt among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man shall in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man shall, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is that we may confess it in truth and uprightness, and with an humble heart and a contrite spirit, in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercy and in thy loving kindness, that we are spared with one another and protected in the land of living, and have that opportunity in this evening hour to come in this house of worship round about thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. For many it is cut off, and there are several in our congregation and outside of it who are laying in hospitals and in their beds. Also one of our deacons by the flu. And the judgments are over the world. But we have still a name and a place. Oh, that it may be a name and a place better than of sons and of daughters, an everlasting name. What is our life, and what is our life serious? What is our life short and submissive to all kinds of trouble and evil? As it happens time and again, it is almost from day to day that we have tidings and from this church, and as in this evening from another congregation, oh, it is always something, and always my reminding that we have no continuing city, and that man goes to his long home. Lord, bind the seriousness upon all of our hearts, young and old, great and small, and that great blessing that is given unto us to come under thy precious word, under the proclamation of that everlasting gospel, wherein Adam, our first covenant, hath his all broken down, and all things are ruined, we can, we have to confess, not different. But now by the coming in of the second Adam, as we hope to hear in this evening hour, who has humbled himself so deeply, and that under the law, to take away the curse of the law, to fulfill the law, and to keep the law, and to receive the blessings of that covenant of grace, where that first covenant is broken, to justify us with God, but now that second covenant, in which type people find reconciliation with God, and in which they are sanctified from all the pollution of sin, and then soon, when the end of their life shall be there, to be delivered from all the results of sin, and then to enter into that place where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that is there that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities, and that all out of free and sovereign grace, all for the sake of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased. Open in this evening thy word and testimony for our mind and for our heart. We are also dependent from thee. But Lord, be with us, strengthen and sustain us, and give nos some edifying words to speak in the midst of the congregation who came nos up in this evening far above our expectation. Oh Lord, be with all of us, with our children and grandchildren, with our coming and rising generation that is now sitting amongst us. Oh, establish thy work and thy church to the honor of thy precious name and to the exaltation of Christ, and that the Holy Spirit may glorify Christ in the hearts of sinners. Those that are sick, we commend them all at thy throne. There are so many that cannot come out, but remember them in mercy also. That mother after their operation who is so weak, they're laying down in that hospital. But, oh Lord, strengthen her, sustain her, and help her through, and bring her back at the appointed time. 'Tis all in thy hand. Be all the widows and orphans and widows and all that those that are in bereavement and sorrow, strengthen them and comfort them. Be with the boys in the service and in the battlefield and in the different countries in which they are, that thy eyes were open over them in mercy and in compassion. Reveal thyself unto us in this evening, that the outgoing of our gathering may be to the honor of thy precious name and to our soul's eternal welfare, that we may taste something of thy love and favor in our heart, and that with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now 215. O come, my people, to my law, attentively give ear, with willing heart and teachable, the words of wisdom hear. Number 215. Thank you. Beloved congregation, the gospel that is really a glad tiding, but a glad tiding for poor sinners. For that kind of people that have received knowledge of sinnership and are privileged in their life to bow under the justice of the Lord. It is for each and every one congregation so necessary that the sin of Adam and the fall of Adam, that it becomes our fall. And as soon as that takes place in our heart and in our life, then there is place and room for the gospel. Christ came in this world for sinners. And in that respect, he came not to rule here in this world, but to suffer and to die. And Hellenbroek had taught us from our early days that the suffering of Christ, that it started as soon as he came into this world. We hope to hear that this evening out of my text. Luke 2, verse 21, the first part. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Thus far. We have in our text this evening a clear proof that the suffering of Christ started when he came into this world. You know, an angel made known that glad tidings to the shepherds. A multitude of angels had also confirmed that announcement. The shepherds have found Christ as their personal Savior. And then the text said, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. We know out of the word of God that circumcision, that was in the first place a divine institution. For that reason, I have read to you this evening Genesis 17, verse 10. And in that chapter, you have the institution of that sacrament, that first sacrament of the covenant of grace. And now, of course, the first question this evening is to a right understanding of the circumcision of Christ, why that the Lord has instituted that sacrament. There were several reasons for that. In the first place, it was a sacrament to be engrafted in Israel. That was the reason that also in the days of Abraham, all those that were in his house, born in his house, bought with money, working in his house, that all the people that was under him, that must be circumcised. And the great meaning was, they must be engrafted in the people. It was God's purpose to have his own people and his own church here in this world. Therefore, later on also, then you read time and again in the Old Testament that Israel have to live alone and they must not be mentioned under the heathens. But of course, that was outwardly. One thing as well as the other, so far as I have mentioned that to you. But now in the third place, the reason why that the Lord instituted that sacrament of circumcision that was referring to the circumcision of the heart. You read about that in Deuteronomy 10 verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And you read also that command by the prophet Jeremiah, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. Of course, you can well realize, people, that was a command that the Lord gave to his people. But in man himself, there is no strength to do it. The Lord had a right to every man that we circumcise our heart. But if it comes to the execution of it, then we are standing there as a helpless person. It is always also in this respect what Augustine said in one of his works, Lord, if you give me what you commanded unto me, then you have commanded not in vain. And that is really, then at that time of that Augustine, there was not the word reformed, of course, but that was now the right reformed doctrine. And then, of course, that circumcision that contains is something else too. From the side of men, to promise the Lord to be faithful, to be upright, to forsake the world, to live with the Lord, and also to live with his people, and the confession in public life of his name and of his sake. That was in short now the meaning of circumcision. But of course, now Christ must be circumcised. The question that is this evening, did Christ need circumcision? And then we say no. Not at all. Because Christ was without original and without actual sin. Dus voor Christ was no necessity of circumcision. Also, circumcision that refers to a regeneration, the renewal of the heart of a sinner. We all know even that it is by confession, but we all know people that our heart, that is so hard by nature. And it is so necessary that the Lord takes away that stony heart and that he gives us an heart of flesh. And then after that we receive an heart of flesh in our life, then it is so many times for God's people a complaining life. And why they are so complaining? On account of their hard heart that they carry with them over the world. If you ask God's people what the desire is of their heart, where they are longing for day and night, that is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You can write that on a paper. And if you pass that paper to all God's children, then they all shall sign the name on the dead. Ring. When the Lord takes away the foreskin of our heart, that refers to the hardness of our heart. When he takes that away and he makes that heart so soft, oh, what happens then? Then the people said, I am in an element. Really. That is in that time in their life that they by day and night are so soft and so broken down. That is a wonderful experience that the Lord gave to his people, especially in the first time of that first love, when that is in their heart. When they are so willing to walk after the Lord, and then all his commandments are not heavy for them. Oh, they have really, by the power of regeneration, they have a willing heart to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways. Even in that time, they are living most of the time more in heaven than on earth. And it is for that people such a blessing, while they have time and again communion with the Lord, and even that they have to perform so many heavy labors, even in the field of in the factory of where that it is also light to them, it is also easy, and that comes because the Lord is in their heart, and in everything that is easy for the people. But now later on, then it becomes most of the time so different. Therefore, God's people that need Christ so much in their life. And they shall also elevate and extol him as that only mediator and savior for their heart and for their soul. I told you already, there was no necessity that Christ must be circumcised. Christ had no knowledge of sin, even not pollution of sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. For God's people who come to the true saving knowledge, then it is time and again wrong. They have to say with their pain in the old Psalms, entirely all our ways are wrong. And they have to complain about that as long as they are living. But there lays something in the future for God's people. And that is to be delivered from death. Delivered here in this world partly. But soon when death comes, then they are delivered from it for all eternity. Because the last promise that the Lord shall confirm to that people is, as you find in Psalm 130, and he shall deliver Israel from all their iniquities. But what is now taught about the reason that Christ was circumcised? That Christ submitted himself to be circumcised. It was necessary, but Christ gave himself over to be circumcised. Outwardly, people, I have some points to explain to you in this evening. You know, Christ, he was anointed for 3 offices: prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, to make known the full counsel of God as the great teacher of righteousness. But now in Israel, it was forbidden, entirely forbidden, that a person would enter into the temple of the synagogue if he was not circumcised. All those that were not circumcised, they were cut off also from the public service under the law of the ceremony. And now Christ, he said later on in Matthew 5 verse 19, that he came in this world not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He was born made out of a woman and made under the law. And that was the civil law, that was the moral law, and that was also the ceremonial law. Christ had humbled himself freely. He was the King of Kings, and he was the Lord of Lords. We know that. But still, the Lord, he placed himself under the Kaiser, and under the King, and under all the magistrates, and under all the authorities. He never came against that. And now especially also the law of the ceremony required the circumcision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus in the first place, to have an entrance in the public places. Otherwise, he had never that freedom and never that liberty to do that. And then in the second place, Christ must be circumcised. One of our old writers, he said, that at the 8th day that Christ was in this world, that the kennels were opened of his precious blood, of that fountain that is open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it is so remarkable, congregation, of course, what I preach to you this evening, that is not new to you, you know that all, but that now from the beginning, after the fall of Adam, that the Lord came in between always with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, with that precious blood of Christ. When the Lord came to Adam and Eve, he took away their own covering. They have covered themselves with those leaves. But then the Lord, he covered that people with the skins of animals. And that was an action that took place there, had taken place there, with shedding of blood, but not without shedding of blood. And now in the 8th day that Christ was here in this world, then he was circumcised. And why? It is only on the basis of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Father can reveal himself unto sinners. We talk about, you know that, about the imputation of sin, and we talk also about the imputation of righteousness. The sin of Adam is imputed to all of us. And I cannot say this in this evening. It is a blessing, congregation. When there comes a time in our life that has become reality for us. It has to become reality for us. And that is now only the work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if we now enlightened by the Spirit, and the Lord come with his love in our heart, then we shall confess that with all that is in us. And while we are confessing that, that shall be to the rejoicing of our heart too. Because if you now think, congregation, if we have to do something, if we have to do something, then you can well figure out how far that we come. I told you sometime, we cannot pluck the stars from heaven, so we are unable to share ourselves and to participate in the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, what makes now God's people so glad in their life? What stirs that people up? What gives them sometimes such a joy in their heart? And they have joy. It is not always sorrow, and it is not always misery. No. They have moments in their life that they sing with Mary, and that they sing with that old man Zacharias. And why do they sing that, people? Because the Lord, he opened their eyes that it is not in them, but that it is in him. And that it all flows out of him. And if you now old, there are some people as old amongst us. And of course we know that we're talking with them time and again in their homes. Oh, there is some amongst me even this evening. Then they say to me, I am so old. I am so old. And I have so little hope. But there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. No. There is not one too young, and there is not one too old. And there is also not one too hard.
You know, salivary are antiseptive, you know that. Then we have to say, how can it ever be that the ever shall happen in us? But now Christ, he shed his blood already. And on the 8th day that he was born, and on account of that foundation now, and that mediatorial work, now the Lord, he visits all his children. And he calls them out of darkness to that marvelous light. The one through a deep way and a hard way, and other ones through soft ways. It is not always as with it by the jailer, and it is not always also as with Lydia. But there is so a difference in what way that the Lord works in the heart of his people. But still it is his own work. And the time is appointed by the Lord. The ways, the means, that is all in God's counsel, determined. That is all firm. And there are examples in the Bible, and examples in the life of God, that the Lord had done so many miracles and wonders, that he must say, Lord, you have given so many evidences in thy holy word, not to be come to despair, no, but to hope upon the word of God, and that the Lord is almighty to give it me too. The Lord, he said in his word, open wide thy mouth, and I will satisfy. And now in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is reconciliation for the guilt of sin, for all the mountains of our sin, for the greatness of our sin. Because for God's people there are not small sins, but they are great sins, big sins. In the light of his attributes, and in the light of a bleeding and humiliating Christ, but also in the light of the mercies of the Lord bestows upon mankind here in this world, oh, then in that light that is so big and so great, that we say, Lord, it shall never happen, and it can never be. But when our eyes are open for that fountain of blood, oh, then there is so much room. Then there is hope for the greatest of sinners, people. And the Lord, he is in that respect, he is so simple in placing it before us. In one of our Psalms, in 25, in the Holland Psalms, there is that line, wie een nederig valt te voet. And I would say in English that it would be, if we in humbleness bow before him, but then the Lord shall surely a surprising God for us. That is the experience of all God's people. It is such a wonderful God, Lord, people, that there is no, he reproached them not, never. Oh, when they think he shall well come with one word to cut me up, to send me away what I have deserved in my life. But then he stands there and his arms are stretched out to a sinner to embrace him and to speak to him and to glorify his grace in his heart. Thus, Christ was circumcised because he placed himself under the law to fulfill that law for his people. And now on our side, there is no fulfillment of the law at all. We can with our fingers not touch it. That is impossible. And we have a mediator who has done everything that is needful to satisfy his Father, but also to deliver his people. Thus in that respect, oh, then there is no ground for anybody to say that he never can be saved. I was now reading this morning a little in Erskine Ralph, and oh, that man, he comes so low to a sinner. In regard to the proclamation of the gospel, but then on the other hand, he comes back and then he says, listen now, if we not bow under it, and if we hardened our heart under it, and then the full responsibility and guilt laying upon men, that there is nobody that ever shall lift up his hand in eternity, that the Lord is wrong in his sentence that he brings over men. No. Our own guilt and our own sin, people. Christ, he was circumcised for his people to take away the guilt of their sin, to wash them in his precious blood, to establish his grace in their heart, to make it a willing people in the day of his power. But a people that never come above it to meet him and to desire him, but as long as they are living, it shall be a ministration of the Spirit in their heart that uncovered that people time and again. Why? Again is my answer, not to bring that people to despair. No. But to drive that people out to that fountain that is opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem against sin and against uncleanness. And now that Christ congregation, that Christ, he was circumcised at the 8th day for his people as a substitute and as a representative for his people, to reconcile that people with God. But while Christ was circumcised, then he also brought the circumcision of the Old Testament to an end. After that Christ had done his mediatorial work, then that circumcision of old that have no more power and that have no more strength, because baptism that came instead of circumcision. Paul, he teaches that in his epistle to the Galatians, and you read it also in his epistle to the Colossians. And now Christ, he is the contents of that circumcision and now of baptism. There's that sacrament of the New Testament that have now his power and his strength in Christ. In the Old Testament it was a bloody sacrament, circumcision, but now it is no more bloody. It is now unbloody. Because as soon as the last blood was shed on Calvary's cross, then the Father was satisfied forever. He need no more our blood. No. He need no more anything of men on account that he is satisfied with that mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now there are two things, people. Now in the first place, that it be revealed unto us, and in the second place, that it be applied to us. Hey. Oh, jongens en meisjes, boys and girls, young and old, great and small, try now to take those two words with you, that you never forget it. The revealing and the applying, that are not hard words for you. They are very simple words. But in those two words, there lay now the whole gospel for a poor and for a wretched sinner. As soon as the Lord opened our eyes for our misery, and we bewailed and we bemoaned with our whole heart, and that we say, Lord, I accept my condemnation. Not with my head, no, because Esau, to a certain respect, Pharaoh, Saul, he said once to David, you are more righteous than I am. And we have in the Bible examples, if we read some verse. We were not talking about it in some houses, we got about it here. In one of our congregation, I don't know who it was. But then we talk about Nebuchadnezzar. And really, I have not to preach myself, of course. No, that is not so. That's not my purpose. But it has always happened in my life that I was reading it by the table. Or for myself, those first verses of Daniel 4, the confession of that Nebuchadnezzar. And if you then stop and inform no more about his further life, then you would be inclined to say, man, what a confession. We have heard some weeks ago from their eyes that he sent a decree over the whole country that the God of Daniel, that he was the true God. And then I was willing to accept that that was a confession of a man with the fear of the Lord in his heart. But what is now the case, people? You can see in those men how far that it can go. How far that it can go with an uncircumcised heart. With an uncircumcised heart. And really, that is now all in the Word of God as a warning for us. And if the root of the matter is in our heart, then there are time and again times that we are stuck with it. And that we say, Lord, is it different with me as with that man? We are all travelers to a great and ever-ending eternity. There are examples in the church, people. So terrible, so terrible. that it is well high time for everybody. Search me and prove me whether that I am on the right way. Really? And if we never are in doubt about it, then you can well place a question mark behind your life, people. If you are never stuck with all those things. And now, the Lord, he said by the prophet Jeremiah, circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart. That foreskin of our heart, that hardness of our heart, that must be taken away. And now in Israel, they use a sharp knife to do that. Is there now today a sharp knife necessary? Oh, yes. A sharp knife. And that is a sword of the Spirit. That is the Word of God. And that cut on two sides. When it is a two-edged sword, said the Bible. Hey? There's it cuts on every side. You are wounded. You are wounded by that sword if that takes place in our heart and in our life, people. And now, and that is an evidence that the true work is in our heart, that time and again that we are complaining over that heart. Complaining. That we say, Lord, I desire it different, but it is not different. And thou art the only one who can soften my heart. And what shall be soften our heart? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That only. That soften us. But that blood, that have more value than that, only that it soften our hearts, that made us so willing to walk in the ways of the Lord. But also to crucify sin and to kill sin, to mortify sin, to lay ourselves before the Lord day and night and to say, Lord, never at this side of the grave you shall take away the sin of men. No. But well can the Lord take away the desire to sin. The desire. And that be killed here inside in our heart. Because sin itself, that shall be as a burden laying upon the souls of all God's children, cannot be different. But that the Lord now give us such a life with him, in communion with him, united with Christ, that he is, when the power of his death in our soul be revealed, that we then die unto sin more and more. Paul, he said, I do no more sin, but the sin that is in me. They have that privilege to see what the old man was and what the new man is. And what now the desire is of that people, that is to be united stronger and stronger with that Christ, because he can fulfill all the needs and all the wants for time and for eternity. And therefore, congregation, it is such a blessing when it is practiced in our heart what we sing now before thy people. I will now thy righteousness proclaim. Thou knowest, Lord, I will not cease to praise thy holy name. I never have it in my heart thy faithfulness concealed, but thy salvation and thy truth to men I have revealed. Number 109, the stanzas 3 and 4. And now, the value that Christ came in this world to be circumcised, to fulfill the law, and to give his people the privilege to serve him with their whole heart and soul, and that they walk in newness of life. The Apostle Paul, he says in Romans 15 verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto our fathers. And now, the value of that Christ who was circumcised at the 8th day, that preached us also the necessity, because that came up out in the life of that Christ, the how highly that he thought about the ordinances of his Father. Even when he was 8 days old and he was circumcised, because it was a command of the Father. And now all those that are united with him here in this inner life, they shall have a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. They shall have a desire to receive out of the fullness of Christ grace for grace. In other words, they can never be happy without him, people. And now we have still the privilege also in this evening to hear that blessed gospel that Christ took the place of the first Adam. He is the second Adam. And he restored what we have broken down, and what we have ruined in our first covenant at Adam. We are privileged to hear that gospel that opens the way of salvation for a poor sinner. Several people is sick amongst us. Otherwise they are with us, but one is laying in his bed, the other is bound to his house. And our life that is in shadow. One of our members in the East from Franklin Lake Church was Monday night murdered in their home. We have known that woman all the years that we were here. And even the last time when I had the Lord's Supper there, then she was up sitting on that table. and I give her a piece of bread, now murdered. What an awful thing, people. Oh, we have now to pray for things that we have never thought so much about, it, really. When we go to our bed, then we have well to ask that the Lord will protect us and that the Lord will spare us and that we shall not fall in the hand of robbers and murderers. It is an awful time in which we are living, people. Awful. And what shall the future bring to us? We can now come to the church nog, and we sit here nog in peace together. But the time can come that that is ook cut off, and that we have no more opportunity to come under the word of God. Realize the seriousness of the times in which we are living, people. And the Lord takes his people away for the day of evil. The church militant become smaller and smaller time and again. And where we nog still live in the day of salvation, oh, that the mercies of the Lord, that it leads us to salvation, young and old, great and small. And if he soon will leave this place, oh, ask the Lord that he will make it reality in our heart, what we have heard in this evening, the foreskin of our heart that must be taken away, and that only by the sword of the Spirit is that possible, not in our own strength. And there is ook no minister who can do it. Not one converted man that can do it. But it is the work of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as long as that gospel is preached, then there is a possibility to receive the benefits of that gospel for our own heart. Oh, you know, there is only one who has merit eternal life. He cannot do it. But oh, he is a partaker of it. That I am share in Christ and in the blessings that he had merited by his active and passive obedience. If it too much to ask the Lord, boys, start with it when you are young, in the prime of your life. You are nog privileged to come here. Your parents take you nog with you. Oh, come never against it, but see it as a blessing nog to sit under the word of God, because only one word, only one arrow that pierced our heart, that can be enough. Oh, the Lord, he is so merciful. And the Lord, he is so long-suffering for a sinner. It could have been done for years with us, but he is still not behind us with that blessed gospel, with the preaching of that precious blood. And that is now young and old, that is now for a black sinner, for a sinner that has not one spot on his life that is white, but black on every side. Oh, if we have to appear before the Lord soon, and if it all shall testify against us, what shall it be terrible? But shall it be terrible? But if we are washed and cleansed in the blood, Oh, what shall it be in glad day to appear before the Lord, and then to stand as a virgin without spot or wrinkle among them. Blessed of my Father, inherit that kingdom that I have prepared for you before the foundation of the world. May the Lord will bless a few words to our soul. And if there is some longing in our heart, but no answer, no answer, what shall I say to you this evening? Keep on, keep on, keep on. The Lord, he answered at his time, not at our time. And if he comes, then he reveals himself. How? As a surprising God to a sinner who had forfeited everything. Oh, the Lord will make himself known, and he will give himself away to a sinner. So many examples are there in that precious word of God. Sinners, you think on that woman in Luke 7, overwhelmed of sin, overwhelmed. She lay at his feet crying and sighing. And what was the answer? Your sins are forgiven, go in peace. That Pharisee that was mad about it. But oh yeah, that poor boy, that poor man, he had not 50 pennies guilty, but she had 500. You can follow it, people. You can follow it. She had 500. And if you have now nothing else as that, oh, surely, with my hands upon the word of God this evening, surely, he will come. He will come. And he will comfort that people that is comfortless in himself. And he will encourage that people that have no courage. Oh, smite out, he said, people, if you can no more pray, try to say. And if you can no more even say, look with your eyes to heaven. The Lord knows what you need. And he shall supply the needs and wants that he shall, that the Lord shall receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. O children of God, extol that Christ in his deep humiliation who has humbled himself. But now in his exaltation, to apply what he has merited to that of all his dear children, and that they shall sing about that Lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. Lord, that a few words brought out in this evening be sanctified to our hearts. Have mercy with all of us. We all need the same thing, to look upon us in Christ Jesus and to apply thy precious blood and righteousness to our soul, that we know nothing and desire nothing to know than Christ Jesus and him crucified. Be with the whole congregation and consistory, also an elder of another church who had yesterday evening a stroke and now in the hospital in a serious condition. We have not seen and spoken with that man a few weeks ago, but oh, our life that is in shadow, but remember him, spare him noch for his family and for that church there, and remember each and every one. After the multitude of thy mercies, prepare us for the next Sabbath day, that we may come in the house of worship and that we may receive something for our empty hearts that can gladden our soul, for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 140. Broken, humble to the dust, by thy wrath and judgment just, let my contrite heart rejoice, and in gladness hear thy voice. From my sins, O hide thy face, blot them out in boundless grace. Number 140, the fourth stanza. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.